The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome into the show, and normally I'd start this thing with the Astros clutch performances from Singleton and Pena and Hader and, of course, Kyle Tucker, but the news, at least for this station, as far as we're concerned, is after two full broadcast days, we have our phones back. So, if for whatever reason you were motivated to call one of the shows on the station and couldn't get through because of an issue with our phones, now's your time. This show's always an open forum, but I know some of you guys got to get your call in. I don't know if you're like relentless as Gilbert is, but if you needed to get something off your chest, now's the time because we have ability to allow you to do that. Now that the phones are back, that came down in the middle, well, at least right before News of the Weird. So we took a call from one of Eric's girls. Of course, Eric was just waiting. Eric will call this show with sports questions. He'll use his platform with John and Lance to disrupt the show. So if you want to do that or anything else, you can call in at 713-780-3776. Using that number actually means something again. So call in if you so choose. But the Astros do win last night in a game where they were down throughout. And if we're talking about trying to pick apart performances and say this reminds us of the team we all know and love, it was one of those nights. The Angels aren't good. In fact, they're bad. They've been bad for years. It feels like no matter what the Angels do, they're always going to be bad. A lot of players, plenty of us have never heard of. But they beat the Astros in game one and were challenging them in game two until Kyle Tucker showed why he's the best player in baseball right now. Now, I think he now leads the league in home runs after the second. He is a guy who, unlike a certain number two, is using maybe the Astros' reticence to give him a contract to prove how much he's worth. It's going to cost someone a lot of money. Not next offseason, because the Astros still have him for one more year. But if he's going to play like this, the price tag keeps going up and up and up. Kyle Tucker is proving that whatever he demands, he's probably going to deserve if he's going to continue to play that way. And John Singleton said, yeah, you can talk about Jose Abreu, but the potential for my power is still something you should value. And he hit a bomb to straightaway center, 432 feet. Pena has a quote where he's on base, I believe, and he said he went to go tag up, and he goes, what am I doing? That ball's way above the batter's eye. What am I tagging up for? Man, that ball's not staying in the ballpark, and it didn't. The Astros have fallen down 4-2. Singleton hits that bomb to straightaway center, and they're tied. And, of course, Hader comes through. We'll hear a sound from Pena because he talked about the performance from all the guys yesterday as they found a way. The one negative, Sean, can you guess what the one negative is? Beyond the Alex Bregman returning to what has been his consistent form, at least this season, what would be the one negative, you think?
And beyond Jose Abreu coming back?
No. well, beyond...
That's evergreen.
But beyond that existential thing we're worried about, yeah.
I would say the performance of Christian Javier was not inspiring.
No, it was not. the velocity's down. There are quotes from him and talking to reporters, but also Espada. Joe Espada said he's not concerned with Javier health-wise. I just don't think he's quite there yet. I think we're over the health issue. It's more getting his mechanics, getting in the groove of things. He just wasn't as sharp, wasn't able to finish hitters. You know, maybe he should have spent some time down working on stuff. We know we always make jokes about how Astros starters get their doors blown off down on the minor league level, but they're working on things. Urquidy's going to start again on Sunday. Why didn't Javier get some time down there? If it is not a health issue, take him to Sugar Land. It's a short trip. Let him work on things against the Albuquerque, whatever the name. I'm just going to call them the Isotopes because that's the name from that's the one name from The Simpsons I remember.
It is the Albuquerque.
They're actually called the Isotopes in real life?
I think so.
Oh.
They might have changed it because, you know.
Let him work on the Isotopes if he needs to work on things. Get the mechanics squared away. Because why are we nearly giving away games because his mechanics are off? We're at a point, and it's May. We're at a point, though, where giving games away is not ideal. Because despite the projections of, well, the Mariners are going into Yankee Stadium, that's going to be tough. The Mariners, nah, we're fine. We're going to be fine in Yankee Stadium. I know you guys struggled there, but we're okay. So we can't give games away. And if one of the games being given away is because Javier's mechanics are out of whack, maybe let's not do that. Maybe wait till you see him at a point where this won't be an issue and then put him back against major league hitters. It's just things I don't understand. There are plenty of things about baseball I don't get. But the whole let's try to work things out on the mound in a competitive game when you're desperate to win games doesn't make any sense to me. Just like, you know, they sent Abreu down for less than a month now. But when he comes back, if he does come back on Friday, it'll be almost a month since they sent him down to work on things. So he was bad enough that he got all the time that they thought he needed to work on things. Javier is at a different level. Even at his worst, he isn't Jose Abreu bad. But if he needs to stay down, I know that the Astros are desperate with pitching. But if he needs to stay down for a week or two to figure some things out, so be it. Nah, we're just going to work on mechanics in major league games. And we'll see how it plays out. So they overcame Javier's lack of velocity early and just an all-around uneven performance because we can, well, at least last night, they're very clutch. In fact, Jeremy Peña talked about what this roster is capable of and how they're playing. And this was him right after coming off the field after his game winning hit in the bottom of the 10th.
You know, we've been playing better baseball. You know, we've been playing for each other, doing the little things right. And, yeah, we're going to try to keep it going, try to keep the momentum going.
You mentioned Kyle Tucker, two home runs for him today. What's it like to watch him at the plate?
He rakes. He rakes, man. What else can I say? You know, and he plays plus defense as well, so it's fun to watch.
Singleton hits one off the batter's eye. Yordan goes deep. What can this win do for you in the way that y'all did it today?
Like I said, you know, we kept playing. We stayed in the game no matter what happened. You know, Hader, he came in and shut it down for us, and that's big time.
Yeah, Josh Hader, I'm not going to pitch more than an inning until I get my deal. We talked about it yesterday on the show. More than fine doing it for the Astros, and he got it done. He is becoming the guy we wanted to see. Abreu gives up another home run. So even as Hader becomes that dude again, now Brian Abreu is regressing. And the Ryan Pressly stuff, I don't know if that'll be a thing all year where we're always concerned about his outings. Is it just simply because until he gets into a role where he can close games, that's going to be a concern? I hope not. But at least one-third of the alleged strongest 7-8-9 in baseball is coming to form. And if he's going to be able to do what he did last night for multiple innings when it's needed, it makes you feel pretty good about where you are when it comes to getting to close a game or even just keeping yourself in it until your bats came through like they did last night. So they win again. They are five games behind the Mariners, now two behind the Rangers. That's the Rangers are now under 500. The only team above 500 in the division is the Mariners. And as I said, they're having no issues in Yankee Stadium right now. And that's kind of how it is. You always try to project things and see what will happen. And, you know, yeah, they're going to New York. We can gain a couple grounds games there. We're going to handle the Angels. Then you've had to scratch and claw just to get the second game or one game out of the first two, and the Mariners have been just fine. So never assume, I guess, is what we're saying, particularly when you're trying to catch a team in the standings. You just never know what will happen. So we'll continue to talk Astros as we go forward. And as I said, if you want to call the show, 713-780-3776, because our phones are back. Sticking with Christian Javier a little bit and more on his mechanics, this is courtesy of Adam Spillane's Twitter, the words of Javier. He's saying he's battling his mechanics since returning from the IL. He blames it for his velocity drop tonight. Says he's healthy and the neck discomfort that landed him on the IL is not an issue. So if we're taking good news out of that performance last night, is he's not unhealthy. It's just simply a matter of getting right. And if that comes, maybe we'll see a better version of Javier going forward. We can only hope, because Hunter Brown's going to get another start. There are certain questions about how deep this rotation is. And you just hope Javier finds his way and Urquidy, after another start in Sugarland, can be back to form. So now you're just looking at a rotation where you have everyone you thought you're going to start the year with, and then you have the surprise in Ronel Blanco, who can take the place, I guess, of certainly J.P. France. And is Arrigetti going to take the job from Hunter Brown? Who's going to be the spot starter there when they need a start, if either somebody gets scratched or they're just in a run of too many games consecutively where one guy has to go in there? So health is returning, and you're still playing really good baseball. Monday night aside, this is a team who is playing, I won't say great, they're playing good. And if they continue this, at some point you think they'll hawk the Mariners down, but they got plenty of time for that. Eric, I see you. You polluted the first show with one of your, I don't know even what to call those girls, because there's an assumption that they're strippers. That's just our assumption. I don't know if it's the same woman and that's your girlfriend. Maybe you can explain it if you so choose, or you can ignore it and just stick to sports, which for whatever reason you seem to want to do on this show. We'll talk to Eric and anyone else who wants to call in. We'll talk to you as well. You can also tweet at the show at DelV2 at Sean A. Mapes. We're just getting started here. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. In the middle of yesterday's show, Texans OTAs were going on. We'll have some sound from that at some point. D'Amico Ryan spoke about a number of things. Sean and I don't know if Sean saw it, but I relayed him this video clip of, you had Jeff Okuda getting smoked by John Mechie in 7-on-7, which resulted in CJ throwing a ball to Mechie who dropped it. So it was the worst of both worlds. You've got this corner you paid, they didn't pay a lot of money. It's almost a 1-year deal, but they paid enough to him for it to suggest that he will be a guy who they're not cutting in camp. And D'Amico talked about not caring about the past of Henderson, CJ Henderson, and Jeff Okuda, two guys who have kind of washed out, certainly haven't lived up to their draft status. So, and Mechie, who at best is probably your fourth receiver, at best, running a route, getting behind him, and then dropping a touchdown pass. So these are these things where Sean and I, who are big college football guys, all the jokes about the spring games, like, hey, I just want our team to win. They're playing each other, and then you go, you have to decide, was it great that wide receiver was open, or awful that he got beat by, he beat one of your cornerbacks so bad. You can't even celebrate the Mechie winning on the route because he dropped the touchdown pass. So no positives there other than CJ threw a good ball, but we already know about him throwing good balls. So we will hear from D'Amico on the cornerback position, and among other things, because he also talked about Kenyon Green and where Kenyon Green is right now as far as, is he a guy we can depend on? And if we can, Nick Cassero's draft hit rate over the last couple of drafts, not including this one because we don't know yet, pretty strong as long as we talk about first-round picks. Stingley, when he's on the field, good. If Kenyon Green's better, even better. And then we all know about Will Anderson, CJ Stroud, and Tank Dell. So we're like one Kenyon Green comeback season from Nick Caserio saying, keep talking about my vest. I get the job done. But first, let's talk to Eric, who could possibly want to talk about multiple things. We'll see. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Great show. Unfortunately, I can't listen to the morning show because I'm on a work schedule now. I missed that show. But did you happen to catch the interview with Lance McCullers Jr.? Why does he have so much white male rage? Because he's not pitching.
I don't know. I don't know if it's white male rage. He's not. If you missed it, he was with Will Kunkel, and Will did an interview with him when Lance was promoting his coffee, Maven Coffee, and Lance was kind of calling into question people being mad at him because he's hurt. He goes, "Why are people mad at me? I don't get why people are mad at me when I got hurt pitching." I have a little self awareness. I think it's pretty clear why people are mad at you. Maybe it's dumb for them to be mad, but you should know. You're not new to the game. It's not their money, which I have contended shouldn't make anyone upset. It's not their money, but they bring it up. So you're making a lot of money to not do the thing you're getting paid to do. It upsets people. I'm not sure why he's so naive to that. Eric, do you want to talk about anything else but his white male rage?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody said somebody called. I think that was Abigail Dye, the hitter boys.
Abigail Dye doesn't call this show and pretend to be a Deanna.
I think she's a big fan. She posted on Instagram that she listens to y'all all the time.
You don't have to lie about things. It's okay.
That's true, but then she deleted the post again with her bikini shot.
If you don't know, Abigail Dye, who works for, I believe, Fox 26.
So have a good day.
You too, Eric. Thank you. He doesn't have the ability to listen to John and Lance. He just has the ability to have some woman he knows call that show. So I don't know how the work schedule is playing into all that. If you don't know the history, Abigail Dye is a reporter locally who posted like a picture on Twitter of her during like standing in floodwaters, I guess. I'm not sure exactly. I don't remember exactly the context, but it was a picture that in some circles you might consider a thirst trap. I mean, it's not. And then she goes, I guess I can only post selfies now because she got a lot of comments about it and she did delete the picture. I mean, I'm not one. Well, I am one to judge. That's all I do. But I'm not one to get into the mind of Abigail Dye and her thought process over that picture. But if you're looking at the picture, it seemed like a picture to go, I'm going to leave it at this. Look at me. And then when the looking at her started, she didn't like all of the comments, and rightfully so. Guys can be creepy. So she said, I'm out. And I'm sure she might have got criticized for the picture from beyond just the creepiness of guys. So she said, I'm done doing this. So that's the background of what Eric's talking about. I mean, it's social media. I mean,
did you post a picture of, like, look how high these branches are that have blown down?
No.
And she's turned away from the camera.
She was turned away from the camera. And if I remember the picture, you know, it looked like what you might see. She had, I guess, maybe a Fox 26 polo or T-shirt. I don't remember because her back was turned to the camera. And she was wearing, I guess, what you might see someone wear at a gym. Leggings or tights, I'm not sure, but it was enough for people to go crazy. And then she said, I don't want this type of attention. I'm out. So she deleted the picture. Well, and apparently she continues to do that. I don't know if she posted a bikini picture. I'm not following Abigail Dye. It's not my bag to follow newswomen.
Well, you don't want to stay informed?
I'm going to be informed by their Instagram post?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't follow them. So I don't know. Do you follow newswomen?
No.
And do they post reels about the news of the day?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Yeah. We're too busy. Sean's too busy updating me on waterfalls in the new college football game. That's where his interests lie. Yeah. not local newswomen in their posts.
And the helmets can pop off. I don't know if you
saw
that.
They said they weren't going to be able to pop off.
Oh, did I misread that?
More bad info from Sean Mapes?
No, hold on. I'll get to the bottom of this.
Get to the bottom of it while we're doing a show.
And then I'll check on Amanda Dye.
Abigail Dye. Got to learn her name if you're going to check on her.
That does help.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say whatever. Actually would help.
Knowing her name would help your cause. But Eric, as I thought he might, threw us way off track. Yeah, we have the Lance McCullers sound. It seems a little petulant. And it's only like 17 seconds. He did a longer form interview, but this is part of what Will Kunkel posted on Instagram. He asked McCullers, and then it kind of evolves into McCullers, I would probably say, complaining about people being mad at him. You can be the judge. Here's Lance McCullers with Will Kunkel yesterday.
It's been a long time since he's been a star pitcher. He's aware of that. He's aware of everything that everybody says.
People are going to be mad at me because I have a hurt elbow from pitching. I mean, I can't do anything about that. People that are, like, mad at me, it's the weirdest thing.
See, the mad at me part and the tone, I don't know why it bothers me. It does sound like he's complaining, but in the tone of like a teenager. Why are you mad at me? Why are you mad at me? You know why they're upset with you. You know why. Don't pretend like it isn't understandable. He understands the business of sports. You don't play. You get paid. And as I have said, I don't get that part of the equation, but I know where it comes from. You are paid to play. You don't play. People will get upset, even if you're just simply promoting your coffee. No one wants to hear from you. I think that's simple. It's as simple as that. I'm not telling Lance McCullers not to live his life. I think he should do other things beyond sports, because at some point it's going to go away. If you can find a different way to make your life fulfilling outside of sports, more power to you. But maybe others don't have my attitude about it. They're going to be upset with you until you get back on the mound. They think you're stealing money, even though it's not theirs. Part of the equation for owners and general managers, they have to take into account guys might get hurt. So I don't even subscribe to him stealing money. The suggestion would be is he's not trying hard to get back. I don't believe that's the case. I haven't heard anyone suggest at least anyone with any real inside knowledge that he isn't trying hard to get back. So I'm not going to put stealing money on him. It's just part of the business. Play or people won't like that you're not playing. It's always been that way.
Yeah, it really is as simple as that. And then whatever happens in rehab, like when you're not playing, people will hold it against you.
No matter what you're doing.
People will hold it against your I think it was in 2022 when he would pitch basically every weekend or do like a simulated game or something at Minute Maid Park before an Astros game, and then give like a state of not the union, but
state of the McCullers.
State of the McCullers' elbow. And people didn't like that because he wasn't playing. It was always, I feel good. We're going to see what happens next week. We're going to add some stuff, see what happens next week. And so that you can see he's working on getting back. He's being very transparent about trying to get back, and people still crush him for it. It's just pitch and people will like you. Pitch well.
Yeah. Pitch well, people will like you, and then all will be forgotten. People will be thrilled to buy your Maven coffee. People will be thrilled that you are a pitch man for HEB. Oh, that's great. Lance McCullers just struck out the side, and then I get to see him on HEB commercials. But when it's Lance McCullers isn't even in the ballpark because he's hurt, or at least he's not visible at the ballpark, I don't want to see him visible in an HEB commercial dipping Jeremy Pena. No one wants to see it, and he knows it. Don't say, why are they mad at me? You know why they're mad at you. You may think it's unreasonable, and I might think it is unreasonable too. But it's just the way it is.
It was originally reported that helmets would be popping off in the video game, but then it has been confirmed that it will not happen.
I'm glad I can count on you to get to the bottom of very important things.
Hey, I went to journalism school for a reason, and it's to search things on Twitter.
Yes, because I'm sure
after I get something wrong.
Yeah, on a major market radio station, I got it wrong, but then I went back and corrected myself because Twitter told me.
What if that? That's what I'm supposed to do.
Your journalism teacher appreciates the too. I hope you didn't take English as a minor, because the English professor. What is that? I taught you better than that. And but yeah. That's going to be a primary focus of this show, or maybe a secondary focus as we talk about things you might actually care about, like your Astros. And we'll talk about the Texans coming back, because OTAs are ongoing. At least they were yesterday. D'Amico Ryan said a couple things. He said more than that, but a couple things I'm interested in. We'll talk about that when we come back. Yeah, the cornerback position feels like it's going to be that number two corner. Feels like it's going to be a spotlight, but D'Amico seems A-OK with the possibility of Henderson or Okuda taking that outside spot opposite Stingley. And we'll talk about that and what he said when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Before we get to the Texans news, or at least the audio from D'Amico Ryans, Dana Brown was, well, we have quotes from Dana Brown after his weekly interview on a local radio station in town. And because it's radio, I'm not allowed to mention it. Those are just the rules. We can't mention the station. You guys can guess. Where would Dana Brown be doing an interview in this town on? What station would he be doing it on? But I'm not, I can't talk about it. Those are just the unwritten rules of radio. What'd you say, us?
No, I said the Buzz.
I don't know what they think about baseball. I don't know if that carries listeners from segment to segment. But in regards to Framber Valdez and him going rogue, Dana Brown says it's been addressed. It has been addressed. So clearly from top down, other than Framber, no one liked what he did. And how could they? I talked about throwing Javier out there and almost letting him work on things. You know his mechanics are off. Just throw him out there, see what happens. Obviously, a bit of a joke there. But Framber was willing to do what he wanted in a game that the Astros needed. Now, they're leading, and maybe he thought, hey, I'm just going to work on some stuff here. I think I know better. But the organization has told him, no, don't do that again. We have a plan. The plan was working, and you decided you knew better. And clearly you didn't. So we don't expect Framber to go rogue anymore. So Dana Brown put his foot down. At least the organization did in that regard. Also on Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is someone, at least according to Dana Brown, that knows that they want to keep him. His representatives know that they want to keep him, and they will get around to offering him a contract at some point, which caught me off guard. What do you mean you're going to get around to it? I would be fine with Kyle Tucker saying, no, I'm not taking your contract because I'm going to go on an MVP type run and I'm going to be worth all the money. So whatever you're trying to pay me right now is going to be lowballing me. But to couch it as, or position it as, we're going to get around to it, tells me they've had no real discussions. The Astros should be trying as hard as they can to get a deal done, unless we're under the impression that they were never going to re-sign him. But Dana Brown's at least putting it out there like they are trying to. But that comment lets me know that they think it's a foregone conclusion that Jim Crane and Kyle Tucker aren't going to see eye to eye on what he's worth and the length of time that contract should span over. And he's gone, as if we didn't know that already. But you can just, at least I'm just parsing from what I'm reading, and we're going to get around to it. What are we talking about? Kyle Tucker's gone. I think we should comfort ourselves with that. We're going to have this year, next year, and if they're good the rest of the way this year and good the rest of the way next year, they're going to lose them for nothing because they're not going to trade him if they're a good baseball team. If you have any hope of recouping anything from Kyle Tucker, you better hope that the Astros don't turn it around and they decide, hey, it's time to sell, although Danny Brown's told us they won't do that because at this point he's just going to walk out the door like all the other guys have. That quote I just found pretty interesting. We'll get Kyle Tucker's very important. We'll get around to it. It's something we're working on.
At some point, we'll do it. All right.
Hey, stop pushing me. Stop pressuring me. Okay, sure. We'll move on to a team who is a bit of on the ascendancy in the city and has paid guys this offseason. Not a starting cornerback, at least opposite Stingley in my eyes, but D'Amico Ryans feels different. We went over, it was one play, but it wasn't a great look for Okuda to be 4 yards behind Mechie and then Mechie to drop the ball in the end zone. But that isn't going to deter D'Amico Ryans and his belief that he can get something out of Henderson and Okuda. And as I said, he doesn't look at the pass. He just looks at what they can become.
What stood out most to me about Jeff and CJ is you see elite movers, right? You see why these guys are, were, you know, top five picks, right? They have the movement skills. They're big, fast, long corners that can they can run with anybody, right? And they've, you know, had some ups and downs in their career. This is their third team, right, in short careers. But as I told those guys, man, this I don't care what happened in the past. You can wipe the slate clean. It really doesn't matter. Like, how can you come out and help us? And they've both done a – they've been here every day of the all-season program, and they've done a great job of being dialed in the meetings and on the field as well. So I'm super excited to work with both guys.
What exactly are the ups in the careers of Henderson and Okudah so far? I guess being on the NFL rosters, people still believing in them. But top 10 picks who have who washed out on the teams that drafted them and then weren't good enough to be retained by the teams that took a shot on them the second go round. I can't imagine there have been many positives. Staying on the NFL roster is an accomplishment, but those two were expected to be big-time corners. And now the Texans are going to try to find one that can play at a moderate to high level to complement Stingley. For a team that has plenty of strengths, I think the secondary is a clear weakness. And other teams, at least the smart ones, will pick and pick and pick on that weakness until it just falls apart. If we're talking about things that could not destroy a Texan season, but could be something we're complaining about for weeks on end, particularly because it seems so obvious, the secondary and that other corner specifically is something that I think is going to frustrate us throughout the year. There's nothing to suggest, unless the magic of DeMeco Ryans takes over, there's nothing to suggest that those two, particularly if they win, one of those guys wins the job, is going to be not a problem. It feels like you're asking to be answering these questions after games about why you're shuttling these two guys in and out of the lineup because neither one is good at their job. It feels like they're setting themselves up for DeMeco to be being barraged by that question over and over again throughout the season.
Or asked why veteran cornerback
Xavien Howard
isn't signed in late September.
If someone's still out there, why haven't
Stephon Gilmore?
You're right. And maybe training camp will decide this when we get later into the year and we're closer and closer to the regular season where they come to the conclusion that neither of these guys are going to be good enough for what we want.
Yeah, training camp is when the Texans might come to that conclusion. And if they don't and they have a rough first 2-3 games, that's when the DJ Bienemays, the Cody Stutes, and the Jonathan Alexanders will be asking about it in every availability.
Yeah, where...
And we will be asking.
We will be asking the questions. And then I will say, I won't say I told you so, but I'll be thinking it. I'll be thinking, I don't like saying I told you so.
You don't want to take a victory lap.
No, but I will definitely be thinking, who could have possibly predicted this would be a problem? That those two guys who weren't good in their other stops aren't good here. Who could have predicted it? I mean, everyone could have. But they're going to lean on those guys, and they're going to get their shots. And
they're first-round picks for a reason, Dale.
Well, okay. So was Zach Wilson, I guess. Ever playing that game. They were first-round picks for a reason.
That's my favorite. They're first-round picks for a reason.
Or...
Haven't seen why.
I mean, I haven't seen it on the pro level, but we all felt good about them coming out of school. Well, The Panthers can get away with that with C.J. Henderson, and the Falcons can get away with that with Okudah. The third team who signs them can't get away with they were first-round picked for a reason because that excuse was already used for the second teams that they didn't play well on. This is a case of I like their body types. I think they can move, as you heard. DeMeco likes their movement skills. Well, the one thing we saw coming out of camp yesterday was he was moving in a way that allowed Mechie to get three steps on him. And that guy is Okudah. It's just unfortunate. It's one rep in 7-on-7. But it speaks to all the concerns I had about that position.
It's also one of the like four reps that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
So 25% of the time, it's an absolute disaster.
Yes. And only compounded by a receiver who's still trying to make his way, dropping a football when he's wide open.
And now that I think about the other reps I've seen, I don't think there's a defense. So
For anyone. Yeah. I mean, there are some 7-on-7 reps. I'm sure it wasn't a full go. Hey, you just get some reps, particularly on like the first day, I guess, of outside work. At least first day we were able to see. Maybe they did some stuff on Monday that wasn't open to the media. But it'll be a thing. I'm telling you now, the secondary will be a thing because they're going to see good quarterbacks and good receivers. And if week two, if Caleb Williams is in here picking on Okuda or Henderson, it's going to get ugly because we all could have alerted you to this particular position being a problem. And the Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and maybe Roma Dunze as a rookie, that matchup is going to be tough. And this is me just discounting the Colts being a problem just because I don't know, outside of Pittman and maybe your guy, A.D. Mitchell, may show that position to be a problem earlier than we thought.
Yeah, prove the 10 teams that drafted a receiver ahead of them wrong.
If you don't know that story, A.D. Mitchell will wear the number 10 this year because the Texas Longhorn great A.D. Mitchell is upset that how dare teams draft 10 receivers before him. He's going to let everyone know that shouldn't have happened the number.
Don't think I won't be keeping track for him.
Are you going to run an A.D. Mitchell Muse account?
No, because I don't have that much free time.
Okay.
But if Xavier Leggett doesn't get off to a fast start.
Oh, you guys all fell in love with that accent. Can't catch a football or get open, though, can he?
Mm-hmm.
Should take,
same thing with Keon Coleman.
Another guy who people love because of the way he speaks.
Yeah. How about this? I like my wide receivers to catch the football.
He goes, I like my wide receivers to catch football and not talk.
They can talk. It's just secondary.
Yeah, it's not my primary focus.
It's not you won the draft because I love...
Because you're a great soundbite.
Yeah, I love Keon Coleman explaining how he buys jackets.
If A.D. Mitchell answered every question with one-syllable words and got open all the time, I'd be fine if I'm a Colts fan.
Sometimes he gets hangry, you know?
No. Oh, yeah, that's the diet.
When his blood sugar...
That's the diabetes story. He doesn't handle the fact that he has diabetes very well, and it affects his attitude and makes people think he's not a great guy. That was a story that may have affected his draft status. Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, wasn't thrilled with all the stuff surrounding him and defended his new player passionately. Mike, I see you. You want to talk Texans. If anybody else wants to talk about the Texans or anything else, the phones are back. You can call in 713-780-3776. We'll talk to Mike and anyone else when we come back.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We got a couple people up there who want to talk to us. We'll get to you, Julian. I don't have any reference points on the morning show, so you might find me out of my depth on that one, the Apple TV show, the morning show. But first, Mike wants to talk Texans. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Del. Hey, I had a question. So I know there's a lot of hype regarding like Texans right now and how everything's going. Everyone's all excited. But based off the schedule that Texans have, like, what would you consider would be like the first real good win, and how would they have to do it to be considered like a real contender or a real threat, not just hype like around, you know, the excitement of CJ and everyone? Of course, assuming that injuries and everything hold up, but what would be that team that would be like an actual impressive win based off of like performance and everything like that?
Well, if we're talking about this team as a potential contender, you look at the schedule early, they go to the Colts. That's a team they're going to be likely favored against, as long as you mentioned, injuries aren't an issue. Then they have the Bears at home, away to the Vikings, rookie quarterbacks. You got two rookie quarterbacks and then a second-year quarterback
who was injured for most of the year in your first 3 weeks. You host the Jags. We know they can handle the Jags. Trevor Lawrence, probably a guy who's a bit more overrated than at least what he's proven on the field. It's the Bills game. They host the Bills. That game will be the one where we're talking about, I don't want to do the "are the Texans for real" thing that early in the year, but if we're talking about a win that might get people to take notice, it's that Bills game. Because if you look at the schedule early, you could make a case that the Texans should be 4-0 going into the Bills game. I don't think that's overly positive to say. Now, going to the Colts is tough. It's a divisional road game. You can throw in the cliches that you've all heard about that as far as why it will be a tough game. The Bears have some talent on offense. They were a good run defensive team. They weren't very good pass defense, so we'll see if that's improved since last year. The Vikings have a rookie quarterback on the road. Once again, we don't know how good J.J. McCarthy will be. Will Justin Jefferson be thrilled? Will he be? I don't think he'll be holding out in week three, but you never know. He's not showing up to OTAs. He wants a lot of money. And then, as I mentioned, the Jags, a division game at home, should be tough, but you're going to be favored. Bills, Texans. Will we know all we need to know about the Texans in week five? No. But I think it'll be the one where people start to go, okay. Even though the Bills you might consider a bit diminished because of some of the departures, maybe most importantly, Stephon Diggs, that's a team that people still consider a threat, even if they're not at the top line in terms of Super Bowl contenders. You beat them. You beat Josh Allen. In any way you do it, whether it's an offensive shootout or you lock him down defensively, I think people will start to get even more and more excited about that Texans team. Long way away from that, but the schedule lays out where you should be 4-0 if you are what people think you're supposed to be. Julian is here. He wants to talk the morning show. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkey. So, you know, I've been wondering or been trying to find a new show, man. I feel like we've scattered the universe for everything. And I have found one, The Morning Show. It's on Apple TV, and it's pretty legit. I'm not even Reese Witherspoon fan, but she's pretty cool in there, man. She's out there, really, but, you know, they really push the, like, female badass, and which, you know, whatever, everybody's doing that nowadays. But it's a cool show, and maybe you should, you know, I don't know, expand your horizon, you uncultured swine. Have a good day, guys.
I'm the uncultured one. The one who he comes to for suggestions, and I'm the uncultured one. How about you watch Dark Matter on Apple TV? That show, I think it's two or three episodes in. Joel Edgerton, you'll recognize the face, even if that name isn't as familiar to some as others. He is in it. Jennifer Connelly is in it as well. I watched the first couple episodes over the weekend. It's a sci-fi show. It's not giving it away because it's pretty apparent. In fact, I think it's even in the trailer he mentions it, where a version of the lead character drugs him, replaces him. It's kind of a multiverse type show where Joel Edgerton made a decision early in his life that changed the course of his life. And in one instance, he made a decision. In another instance, he made a different decision. And then the two or three or four or five of them split off. There's a possibility we're going to see like seven different versions of him. I don't know that yet. But the two that we have seen, one entered his world because he's a really smart physicist, I guess. Sent the family man back to the scientist world and took his life away from him. And now the struggle is to fight back and grab his life back. So I'm in on that. I love sci-fi. I love multiversal stories, even though some of them are done poorly. Looking at you, Marvel. But Dark Matter, sci-fi show. If you like that are into that type of stuff, that's on Apple TV right now. And if you like overdramatic television shows about morning news, Julian has a suggestion for you, too. You know which one I think you should take. And I'm the uncultured swine. You say Jive Turkey and that other thing about the 49ers. If anyone's uncultured, it's you. I'm not going to take that lying down.
It is funny to hit you with the what's up, Jive Turkey.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, you uncultured swine.
You uncultured swine. Oh, look at you.
So refined after what you said to start your call and what you normally say to end your calls until I banned it from the show. Self-awareness. That's all I'm asking for. But yeah, different shows for different people. I'm just going to let you know, if you're into a mid-show from Apple TV, the morning show's for you.
Hey, you don't know that.
No, Rotten Tomatoes calls it. It's 66 on Rotten Tomatoes. If we're going by what they think, it is a mid-show.
Rotten Tomatoes has some misses.
I know. I like some stuff that they trash. But if we're going by the score of critics who you can or cannot respect, it's a mid-show.
What's the audience score?
It didn't come up. I have to go to the website. I didn't get the audience score.
I always love the audience score because that's what I put stock in. What's the culture feeling, you know?
Ask Kendrick about that. Rotten Tomatoes for my show, 78%. So at least the critics side with me, and the critics are supposed to be the cultured ones. The audience is supposed to be the uncultured ones. So I guess we know how this conversation is playing out. Me cultured, Julian, very uncultured. But he can call in about his stupid shows anytime he wants, and so can you guys as we go forward. We didn't do it on Friday because we couldn't, but Michael Carroll, I believe if he's not off, I know he's not here today, but if he is available, we'll have Michael Carroll on to give you some culture when it comes to pop culture and TV shows and movies. We try to do that every week as long as he can. We're wrapping up hour one here. We'll get into what happened in the NBA last night. It was going to be a great hate-watched night for me until the Pacers had to do what they did late. We'll talk about that and some other things because one NFL wide receiver has a pretty high opinion of himself. And the problem is I don't have context because all I can do is read his words. But if his words or at least his tone matches his words, we got to have a talk about Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We'll do that at some point. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.